Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Here's the thing. We're going to be covering for the next few weeks seven steps that I believe with everything in me, if you apply these principles that we're going to be studying in the Word of God, no matter where your life is today, if you will make it a habit to put this word, these principles into practice, you will look back and your life will not be the same as it was. Now, you may ask me, where do I get that kind of confidence? I get that confidence from the Word of God, because Isaiah 55 verse 11 says that his word will not return unto him void. The Word of God works. Can you say that out loud? The Word of God works. The Word of God will always work. God said, as the rain falls from heaven and waters the earth and makes it yield forth fruit, it makes the earth produce fruit. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, Isaiah 55, 11. It shall not return unto me void. The Word of God will always get results. And these things that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks are all based on the Word of God. They are all principles that come straight out of the Word of God, and you cannot apply this word to your life and it not make a difference in your life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I was spending some time yesterday evening with the boys, and we were sitting down just visiting, and I asked them a question. I said, you know, I said, the Bible says that the commandments of God are not grievous. So I asked them what that meant to them, that the commandment of God, the commandments of God are not grievous. And they gave me their response, and I was interested to see what they would say, and they had an interpretation that blessed me. And then I shared with them the conviction behind that verse, that God does not give us commandments, that God does not give us his word to be hard on us or to cause us grief. He gives us his word because it is his wisdom. And when we apply his word to our life, it brings life. His word is life. He said in John 6:63, the words I speak, they are spirit. The words I speak, they are life. When you receive his word, you receive life. When you apply his word to your life, you give your life life. Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and I have come to give it to you more abundantly. We don't necessarily need another sermon. We don't necessarily need 7 points, 5 points, 10 points, or 12 points. What we ultimately need in our life is the Word of God. So everything that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks and till Jesus comes is going to be based on the Word of God. I just don't want you going into this teaching or this series thinking, man, Pastor James has got 7 points that'll get us to the next level. Excuse my bad English, but Pastor James ain't got nothing for you. What we're going to do is spend time in this word, and we're going to see this word lay out a prescription that will take us to the place that God has ordained for the advancement of his kingdom and for his glory. And the first of these seven things that we're going to talk about, that I'm encouraging you with everything in me to apply to your life, the first one that we're going to cover is vision. Look at your neighbor and say, vision. Now let's look at this verse here in Proverbs 29, verse number 18. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Just quote that out loud. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now the word perish can mean a lot of things, but in this scripture, it's literally translated to cast off restraint, to cast off restraint. I want you to imagine yourself either in maybe some ride or some vehicle, and you've got these harnesses or you've got these seat belts that have you buckled in for the ride, for the journey you're getting ready to take. This word perish gives the picture of casting off what had you restrained. Unrestrained, unbuckling your seatbelt, if you will, casting off restraint. So what the scripture here is actually saying is that where there is no vision, there is no discipline. Where there is no vision, there is no discipline. Show me a person that has no discipline in their life, and I'll show you a person that has no vision for their life. Show me a person that has great discipline in their life, and I'll show you a person that has great vision for their life. Vision produces discipline. Therefore, he's saying, where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off what restrained them because they had no vision. They did not have a hope. They did not have an image. They did not have a plan. They did not have a purpose. There was no objective. There was no agenda. Therefore, there was no need for discipline. Now, you can see why we're covering vision first. Because if you don't have a vision for your life, you wouldn't make it through three steps, much less seven. You're not going to take any step when you don't have vision, because it is vision that produces discipline. Now, God's called all of us to be disciples, amen? And a disciple just means I'm a disciplined one. But there are so few believers that actually enter into discipleship because they don't have a God-ordained vision for their life. Now, no matter where you are today, or no matter where you've been through, or what circumstances you find yourself in, every one of us at any given point in our life can make a decision to have a vision for our life. And I'm going to show you here in just a few moments how to establish vision for your life. And you know, you may find that hard, because you say, I don't know what God's plan is for me. I don't know what God's purpose is for me. I don't know what God's will is for me. Listen, his will is his word. And any vision that you develop in your life that's based on the word of God is going to ultimately have God's endorsement in that vision, and what we'll call provision. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but I want to finish this verse. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. If you're like me, you might have lacked certain disciplines in your life until you got a vision. Come on, somebody. You know, listen, you know, when you get a vision for a thing, maybe your desire is to be an educator and you have a passion to teach, and maybe you want to pour in to young people and be a teacher of students, and you're like, man, I just really feel a call in my life to be a teacher. Well, if you really have that vision to be a teacher, then you're going to have the discipline that it takes to get your education, to do whatever it takes to put yourself in that position to be an educator. If you want to, you know, enter the medical field because that's your heart's desire, is to minister to people, and you just have that objective and that heart's desire to minister as a doctor or nurse, then if that really is your vision, then the follow through will be your discipline to get what you need to take on the seat to advance that vision in your life. Vision produces discipline. Vision of being debt free will give you the discipline to steward your money to get toward that debt freedom. Vision to own your own home will discipline you not to spend your money carelessly, but to save and steward your money to get to that place to buy your first home. Vision produces discipline. Can I say it enough? If you don't have any discipline in your life, it's because you have no vision for your life. Now, I want you to know this with everything in me. The enemy hates vision. We all have an enemy, and our enemy does not want us to have vision. Another word for vision is hope. Because when I have hope, I'm seeing what's unseen. There's an expectation. There's a desire. There's a hope. There's a vision. And the enemy wants to keep us in this state of hopelessness where we have no hope. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means you won't even apply faith until you have hope. So for the enemy to get you out of the word of God and to get you out of faith, all he's got to do is convince you that the position you're in right now is hopeless. You know, and there's been so much done in this that many people even use the word hope in a derogatory way, as if to say this is not possible, where someone might speak an encouraging word to you and then you say, yeah, I hope so, in a derogatory, negative tone. And I can tell by the way you just used the word hope that you're saying that's not possible and it could never happen. But biblical hope is expectation. Biblical hope demands faith. It withdraws faith from the word of God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means when I have a hope, now I'm applying faith to make that hope a reality. Hope is your blueprint. Hope is your image, just like the vision. You can't build a garden in your backyard, a dog house for your little dog to get him out of the cold and the rain, or a flower bed in your front yard without a vision. Without a vision of what you're getting ready to do, you don't know what to buy down at the Home Depot. You don't know what resources you need for the dog house, for the garden, or the flower bed. Hope is the prerequisite to substance. When I don't have hope, I don't go after substance to make that hope a reality. I don't go after the resources I need to bring that hope into manifestation. Vision is the same way. When you don't have a vision for your life, you don't apply the discipline. You don't look for the resources to bring that vision into manifestation. Now, I was preaching this and teaching this some years ago, and I had somebody say to me, they said, oh, that sounds like New Age stuff. And I almost got up in the flesh. New Age stuff? What I'm teaching you is as old as time. Because when God created man in Genesis 1:26, the Bible says this, that God made man in his own image. God made man in his own image. The creator God who made everything that exists, come on somebody. When he made man in his own image. What does that tell me? That tells me that God uses imagery to create. That God created man in his own image. Now, not only does that tell me that God uses imagery or the imagination to create, and he does. When he ordered Moses to build the tabernacle, he gave Moses a vision of the one in heaven. He gave him a glimpse of the one in heaven and said, okay, build this as you have seen in heaven. When he challenged Ezekiel to go and judge the people over the temple that had been built under his name, he gave Ezekiel the blueprint, the measurements, and he said, now go measure what they have built against the measurement that I gave you and see if they built what I gave them. God gives vision. God gives blueprint. And so he's a God that operates off of vision and off of the imagination. But here's the thing. If God, who is a creator, if God, who is the origin of all things, if he created man in his own image, then he created man to be a creator. He created man to make things. You were destined to create things. You were destined to produce things. You were destined to make things manifest. You say, how can you say that? Because you were made in the image of a creative God. You have creativity. You have the ability to bring things to pass in your life because you were made in the image of a creative God. Your dog cannot determine its own destiny. Your kitty cat cannot determine its own destiny. But because animals were not given the ability to dream and then work to bring that dream to fruition. But God has given man the unique ability to see what does not exist and to pull in the resources that are needed to make that vision become a reality. You were created in the image of God. You have creative ability. Listen, when you have no vision for your life, you're not giving God anything to endorse. You're not giving God anything to manifest. I'm going to explain that more in just a few moments, but I want to finish this verse because we got a whole lot more to cover. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off what had them disciplined or restrained. But notice the second part of that verse. Read it with me. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Or I could translate that, he that keeps the word of God, happy is he. There's a coupling of vision with God's word in this verse. That when I'm applying his word, when I'm living by his word, when my vision and hope for life is derived from what he said, come on somebody, I need to start living a life that's based on what he said, not based on what the world is doing, not based on what my neighbors are doing, not based on my background, not based on where I graduated school, not based on what neighborhood I grew up in, not based on what my relatives did in life. No, I want to get in this book, get in this word, and recognize that all of his promises are yea and amen, and find my identity in him. Lord, what is your plan for my life? What is your will for my life? And begin to build a vision for my life based on his word. Vision will give you the discipline to stay true to his word until that word manifests in your life. Hallelujah. Now, let's do this. Let's come over to the book of Lamentations. And I want to go to the second chapter of Lamentation. That's right behind Jeremiah. You just move forward in your Bible, you'll find it. You'll come to Ecclesiastes and Isaiah and just keep moving. You'll see Jeremiah. Jeremiah writes Lamentations, chapter number 2. Now, I want you to put this verse in your notes. It's Habakkuk chapter 2. And you can put this in your notes, Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 4. And I want to emphasize verse 2 of Habakkuk 2 while you go to Lamentations 2. Come on, somebody. They ought to call this place Word of God Ministries. Watch this. Habakkuk 2 says this, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may read that readeth it." Now watch this. Write the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain so you can run with it. See, once again, I'm seeing that if I don't have any vision, I'm not going to go anywhere. If I don't have any vision, I'm not going anywhere. There are three things that vision will do in your life. Three things that vision will do in your life. And I'm going to make this this statement, and I'm going to pull out three things that vision will do for your life. A vision tells you who you are. So number one, you find purpose in vision. Number two, where you're going. So the second thing is your future is revealed by your vision. And then number three, and what will guide your journey? That's your values. So three things come out of vision: purpose, future, and values. Those three things come out of vision. What is my purpose? That's revealed in your vision. Individuals that have been convinced through whatever circumstances that they have no purpose, that they're not relevant, seem to lose hope. And the enemy wants you there. And maybe I'm ministering to you and that's where you are right now. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. There's no hope. Oh, yes, there is. Don't you let the enemy trip you up with this. You are a purpose with a name. And whether you've got to just vision something for today and take a baby step, you've got to get some vision for your life. It may seem to be small and insignificant, but you've got to start somewhere and recognize, yes, you are. You're a purpose with a name, and your vision is going to reveal your purpose. Number two, your vision is going to cast light on your future. Your vision speaks of your future, but it does it today. My vision tells me where it is I'm going. It reveals my purpose. It reveals my future. So if you're in a place where you're without vision, you're ultimately without purpose and you're stagnant. You don't know where you're going. That's why the enemy works so hard to fill God's people with the idea of hopelessness. And then number three, your vision reveals your values, because the pursuit of vision is where you find value. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Let's say you say to me, Pastor James, I'm gonna get me a new car. I say, okay, good deal. I stand with you.
You just don't understand, Pastor. I never had nothing new. And I never really done anything for myself. But I'm getting me a new car. My mama never had a new car. My daddy never knew had a new car. My brothers and sisters never had a new car. I'm getting a new car. I'm like, go for it, brother. And then you say back to me, whatever it takes, I'm getting me a new car. Now we in trouble. Because you might end up starting a prison ministry. Because when you say, I'm getting a new car no matter what it takes, you just said your vision has no values. That whatever it takes, I'm going to have this car. If I've got to steal it or steal to get it. See, now your vision is revealing your values. See, I have to have vision that's coupled with the Word of God, because when my vision is based on the Word of God, then not only do I know what it is I am after, I know what I will and what I will not do to get it. The problem with this world and those that have vision in this world is that they have vision without value, which means I want this and I want it so bad, I will lie to get it, cheat to get it, backstab to get it, do whatever, have no value, no conviction, live, lie like a rug, cuss like a sailor, steal like a thief. That was no brainer. I ran out of stuff. Third service, I get hungry, and then stuff starts just happening like that. The point is that when you don't have vision that's based on the Word of God, it's vision without value. And vision without value is dangerous. Vision that has been born out of a relationship with God starts showing me my character. Because here's the thing. When you have a vision for life, an objective, an assignment, and you have to break your convictions, lower your standards, violate your ethics to achieve it, it ain't worth it. Then you now say, you know what? If it's gonna take that to get there, then I won't go there. And when you are in that position, that's when God steps in and says, oh, no, you didn't just raise that standard. And that's when God begins to put you in position and places that you could have never got for yourself, because what God really wanted was you to develop a vision, but not just vision, your purpose, your future, and values. And once those things manifest, now God is ready to advance you to the next level, a level you can go to because you've got vision that has matured you and developed you. There were many opportunities for me as this ministry was growing where individuals came into my life and made me offers for things, some with good intention, some weren't, that I had to say, no, listen, that's a vision of mine, but if I got to get it like that, then I won't have it. You see what I'm saying, do you? Now, watch this in Lamentations chapter 2, and I said all that to give you all time to find Lamentations. Are you there? All right, now watch this in the second chapter, and we're going to look at it in verse number 9. Now, let me set this up for you. Here in Lamentations, the city of God, the people of God are in ruin. That there's great waste, and the Lord is addressing this ruin and this waste and the place of God. And watch what he says here in verse number 9. He says, her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars, or her fencing. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles, or the lost nations of the world. Now, what led to this ruin, this waste, this destruction of God's people and God's place, Zion? Here's what happened. Verse 9, the law is no more. See, when you take the Word of God out of your life, you're in trouble. I've met plenty of folk that have ignored the will and Word of God in chase of a better life, and I'm here to tell you, they don't find it. It takes some 2 months, 2 years, or 20 years, but they're going to all come back the same way. There's no better life outside of His Word. There's no better life outside of His Word. Can you say amen to that?
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at WOGM.com.